Okay. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
You could do better. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, you're awake. All right. I just want to address something before we start this session, because there were so many questions given to me last night about resources and tools to choose and what to go, where to go, and we suggested some concordances and some reference books and a website called God Questions and so on. I want to make sure to let you know that anything that is not scripture, you have to filter it again. It doesn't matter who it is. It's still written by humans. You don't know the rest of their doctrine. Be very careful. Whatever you get off the internet or off books or off commentaries, make sure that you evaluate it against the Word of God, because that is very important. And there were surprises in my life where I had trusted some sources and then realized they had doctrinal errors. So be very careful what you look at and what you believe from what you find. Make sure that it is in accord to the Word of God, and if not, ask somebody. Okay? So that clears my conscience on that one. The second thing I want to say is I want to really, really, really thank you for giving me the opportunity to come. I had almost packed up my Bible, and I said no more Bible conferences after the age of 80, but what you've stirred up in me by inviting me to come has been a blessing for me far more than I can express. So I want to thank the organizers. I want to thank you all for coming and for putting up with me for the last 3 days. Now, the theme that we have chosen tonight, for this weekend, is very relevant for us today, speaker and listeners. In Christ, I don't want, my desire is to see no one leaving this conference without making sure that you are in Christ. And the second desire I have is, if you are in Christ and the Lord has spoken to you, then do something about it. It's the Lord's voice. It's the Lord's word. He's spoken to your heart, because I know he's spoken to mine. And I pray that he would give you the determination to go to him and ask him how he could change you more to be like the beloved Son of God. In our first session, we dealt about the what does it mean to be in Christ and what are the privileges we have and the many, many, many things that we are given by putting our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and being one of his children. In the second one, we realized that we have to submit to the Holy Spirit control and make him preeminent in all things. It was nice when I went to the Lord's Supper this morning and I saw the verse. It really warmed my heart, didn't it? The Lord is speaking to us to make him preeminent in our lives. And it is our choice to make him preeminent. He doesn't create us robots, right? He creates us free will human beings. And we are to be more in the control of God, the Holy Spirit, rather than do things ourselves. We then went and visited Brother Habakkuk in the Old Testament, and so that the just shall live by faith. And it explained to us what faith is. The just who the just are and how should we live, and the importance of faith in knowing that the Lord is in control and he is sovereign. And that helps us get through the mountains. And like it did with Habakkuk, transformed him from being an irritable, angry, questionable man, from that status to become in a praise and happy situation, which we all can be if we live by faith rather than by sight. Then we looked at the opportunities of the Lord giving us to be his arms and legs and feet and mouth and serve him in various capacities so that we can build up the church, build up one another, and challenge our hearts to find where the Lord has gifted us so that we could use that gift. Some have been reluctant to use that gift. Some have been reluctant to recognize, recognize the gift and exercise the gift. And my desire is to see each one of you go back and reassess what your gift is and how you can serve better the Lord who loved you and gave himself for you. So now we want to think about our Lord Jesus Christ himself as our high priest. This has been sort of a subject neglected. Not many understand it. And why do we go to the book of Hebrews and find out a lot has been said about Christ being our high priest? Now, do we have a reader for today? Okay, sweetheart. Okay.
Wherefore, in all things, if beloved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people.
Thank you. He was made a high priest. Now, first look, we say, well, we are priests. My Bible says that we have become priests. So we want to understand, what does it mean? So we go and say, who was a high priest? And the second thing is, what's the role of a high priest? Why is Christ superior to those previous high priests? But where the rubber hits the road, we ask, what does it mean to me as a believer today? Remember when we said we want to understand the principle, the doctrine, and then the application. And that is what we want to do at this session. So I found this nice picture that looks like the high priests in the Old Testament. And they're all dressed up with their linen aprons, the ephod, they call it, and the breastplate with those golden garments and white linen, whatever. And the breastplate has 12 gems. And some refer those to the names of the tribes of Israel. Others say these are the 12 stones of Joshua in the river. But whatever it is, this is what the old high priest looked like. So these are the type of things that we want to dissect and look into deeper so we can understand the term and its relevance to us today. So who was the high priest in the Old Testament? We go, and again, you're going to get the notes and you're going to get the references, so focus on understanding and forget about taking pictures. Anyway, what he did in the Old Testament, he mediated the religious services. And then he was the supreme religious leader of the Israelites. But it was a hereditary office. And we're going to talk about this a little bit more. And he was chosen by men. And if you go back, if you trace it back to Aaron, brother of Moses of the tribe of Levi. So it had to be a certain tribe. It has to be from father to son, from grandfather to son, to son to grandson, and so on and so forth. And he had to be whole physically and holy in conduct. So these were the characteristics of the priest, the high priest in the Old Testament. And this is how they were dressed. They had bells, I guess, and the golden bells in the bottom, and they had all sorts of fancy dress. This is what they looked like. What was the role? What did they do? Well, they had the leadership for all of all the subordinate priests. Unfortunately, some of the current religious sects calling themselves Christians still have the same pattern. But we're going to see that this was a pattern in the Old Testament for a particular reason. Now, you're going to see them using the Urim and Thummim, whatever. These are like, what I understand, not much is written about them, but they're like fortune-telling stones. They're the type of stone that gets illuminated by the Spirit of God. Urim means guilty, and the Thummim means innocent. So in some ways, they were making decisions and ruling over what is right and what is wrong. And these are the references we have if you want to go into details. The Hebrews went to them to know the will of God, and that's why they were sort of highly elevated among people in the Old Testament. And they offered sin offerings for the congregation and for themselves, because they were sinners too. So they had to, and we see that in Leviticus 4, that they offered those sacrifices, offerings, for the congregation, on behalf of the congregation, and on behalf of themselves, because they were also sinners. They conducted the service for the Day of Atonement, which is the 10th day of the 7th month of every year. And they also sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat before God at the Ark of the Covenant. So these are the roles of the high priest, complicated roles in the Old Testament for the sake of being the mediators between God and men. Why is the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, superior to those Levitical priests? What is the relationship? Why do we always say our Lord is much higher than those Levitical priesthood? Because he was called by God, not by men, as we see in Hebrews 3. If you want to go into detail about that, go to the book of Hebrews and read everything written about the high priest of the Old Testament and also about the Lord Jesus Christ being superior to those Levitical priesthoods. Our Lord was labeled the great high priest. There's no pope, there's no one high priest better than the other. My Lord was called the great high priest in Hebrews 7:26. None of the Levitical priests were labeled great high priests. He has a completely unblemished character. Our Lord was perfect. These Old Testament high priests were not perfect. And that's why when they went to give offering, they gave offering on behalf of the sins of the people and also of their own sins. My Lord had no sin. He could not sin. He had no sin. And he was perfect and an unblemished character, as we read in Hebrews 7:26. That's why he did not have to offer a sacrifice for his personal sins. He offered himself. He didn't put animal sacrifices. He offered himself on my behalf and your behalf. Our sins. He took on himself our sins. And he did not get an animal sacrifice. He put himself as the sacrifice for my sin and your sin. And the Old Testament high priests would offer once a year. My Lord offered once and for all. So when you talk about having the Lord's Supper and a transformation of the blood and the bread into you're killing Christ every Sunday. My Lord, they are only symbols. What we did this morning, we only had symbols of the body and the blood of Christ. Why? Because he sacrificed himself only once and for all. Not every week, every year as the high priests of the Levitical priesthood would do. And he entered heaven after his sacrifice and sat down. No priest, no high priest could sit down. But my Lord, because he said, "It is finished," he finished the task. He died for you and for me, offered himself, not an animal sacrifice, and was seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And his priesthood is unchangeable. It doesn't go to other people like these ones that had to go from father to son to grandson. His priesthood never ends. Why? Because he lives forever. All the other priests died. But he was, as we were reminded this morning at the Lord's Supper, he was eternal. Before anything was created, he was there. He was the eternal Son of God. It's not at Christmas time where he was born. No. He was there because he created with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit the worlds, and he will never die. He is unchangeable and he lives forever. And then we talk about he is after the order of Melchizedek. And there we see now. What do we mean by the order of Melchizedek? Melchizedek was not of the tribe of Levi. There were two types of priesthood in the Old Testament. The Aaronic priesthood, these are the Levitical priesthood by animal sacrifices, according to the law, which cannot forgive sins, as we understand. They were only a type of the Messiah that will come, that will take away sin. These were only temporarily examples of what was to come. But the order of Melchizedek is a superior priesthood. Remember, this is, if we go back to the history, and I have written something here that I'd like to read to you, to summarize this. Melchizedek is briefly introduced in Genesis chapter 14, verse 18 to 20. In a messianic psalm, in Psalm 110, verse 4, David addresses the order of Melchizedek specifically after describing the victory and glory of the Messiah. Because David says there, The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. That's in Psalm 110. The author of Hebrews, which we don't know who, we think it's Paul, but we don't know, is speaking of Christ, quotes this verse in Hebrews 7:17. So Genesis provides the background regarding the identity of Melchizedek, who, when Abraham met him, he blessed Abraham. So he was above Abraham. And in Hebrews 5, 6, and 7, describes the supremacy of Jesus as the great high priest, using that Melchizedek's role as an illustration of Jesus' priesthood and kingship. There's a lot of things we can talk, but we don't want to deviate from the subject of focusing on Christ. But he is not in the type of priesthood of the Aaronic priesthood of the Levites, but he is after the order of Melchizedek. You remember Abraham met Melchizedek, who was labeled King of Salem or King of the Peace and Priest of the Most High God. That's what the Bible describes him as. And Abraham acknowledged by giving him a tithe of the spoils. So he acknowledged him as the form of a high priest, but he was not from the Aaronic priesthood. So Melchizedek blesses him and gives him bread and wine. It's very interesting how you can see all the things sort of coming in their way to explain to us, very simple-minded people, how the Lord is so specific and his word is very, very detailed, but also very specific. So, why is the Lord Jesus Christ superior to the Levitical priesthood? Because the priesthood, the necessity for priesthood for redemption, as we see in Hebrews 2, the activity of his priesthood, the authority of his priesthood, the perpetuity of his priesthood, the superiority of his priesthood, the suitability of his priesthood, and the supremacy of his priesthood are all labeled as the reasons why he is superior to the Levitical priesthood. So what does that really mean? What does that really signify to us? Well, what does the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is our high priest means to us as believers today? We read that he sympathizes with our human nature because he was made human like us in Hebrews 2 and Hebrews 4. He serves as our advocate right now. He is our lawyer. He is our mediator. He is our intercessor with God 24/7. So do you realize you have legal support 24/7? That is what our Lord is serving for us. You know, that reminds me when the kids were very young, and you know, you put them on the stage to do something for the Christmas concert or whatever, and of course they're putting their finger in their nose and they're playing there and they're doing this, but you are with your camera saying, oh, this is my child, this is my child, grandchild, and you're so, and I envision in a simple way, even if I fumble and even if I make mistakes, even if I am going to the Lord and not knowing even what to ask for or how to ask for, and my Lord intercedes on my behalf and say, it's okay, she is my daughter. So he intercedes between God the Father and me, recognizing I'm his child. I know it's a very silly little example, but that's how I view it. Tenderness, loving care, and true love for me, he intercedes on my behalf. Yes, he cares. He blesses. The other priests, high priests, did they really care for the people the same way? Did they die for the people? Are they really interested in the people? Maybe some of them were, but nothing compared to my Lord. He cares for us. Have you ever stopped to think how much sometimes we think as mothers we care for our children? Nothing like how the Lord cares for us. And also, he's able to bless us. We wish we could bless our kids, but we can't, because we're still human too. My Lord cares for me, and my Lord blesses me. And like Melchizedek, he's apart from the law. He deals with us by grace. The Aaronic priesthood dealt by the law. But Melchizedek dealt by grace towards Abraham. That's the comparison, that the Lord deals with us by grace. He should sometimes tell us, you should know better and you shouldn't have done that. And you've repeated that 3 times or 10 times in my case. But he doesn't. Confess your sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive you. You ever stop to think, what does that mean? Are you able to forgive and forget somebody who hurt you? We sometimes say, oh, I forgave her, but I can't forget. My Lord says, who is sovereign and really doesn't forget anything, he chooses to forgive and forget and put all the bad things I've done in the deepest part of the sea. Can we do that? That's what he does. That's what grace is. Give you something that you don't deserve. And mercy is when you do something wrong and he declares you just. He doesn't give you the penalty of what you've done. Both grace and mercy. Yes, he is the one who distributes spiritual gifts by his Spirit. The priests in the Old Testament could never do that. And we talked about that last night. And best of all, he's preparing a place, a mansion for me in heaven. I don't know about you, but I'm looking for that day. And then the older you get, the more you know you're in your twilight years, and the time is soon coming, and we'll see him face to face. I shall behold him. And not only so, he is also preparing a place for me. Nothing like the Old Testament priesthood. This is my Lord. This is my God. I had a poem, but I'm not going to read it to you. But really, I want you to remember that you have a high priest in heaven thinking about you, mediating on your behalf. It's okay if you make mistakes, because you will. You still have the flesh in you. Just don't dwell on the mistakes. Go to your high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will deal with it. So, we looked at so many things this week, and what does it mean to you to be in Christ? How much are you Holy Spirit controlled? Are you really living by faith? Are you identifying what spiritual gift you have and using it and exercising it? And do you recognize that even when you make mistakes, you are heavenly supported, not earthly supported, and it's someone you can depend on 24/7. So, the challenge for you and me, what has the Lord spoken to you personally this weekend? And what are you going to do about it? Are you going to leave here the same way you came? Are you going to leave here having heard God's voice? Are you going to dismiss it? Your choice. What will you do with the voice of the Lord to you personally? I know He's spoken to me, so, and I heard His voice. The challenge is in my own heart. What about you? And what are you going to do about it? Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we bow at the end of this conference to give you thanks for our beloved Lord Jesus. We thank you that He made it possible for us to have this gathering together, to listen to His voice, to be challenged in our hearts, speaker and listeners alike, to draw closer to Him, to get into His word more seriously, and to serve Him in a better way. Lord, we know that the devil and the flesh are constantly attacking us, but we know and are confident that He that is in us is stronger than he that's in the world. We thank you for the promises of putting on the whole armor of God. You've given us the resources, Lord. Help us in using those resources so we can be better believers, better testimonies to the people around us, and better in serving you until the day when we will see you face to face. We know, Lord, that you're soon return. You're at the doorstep. So we pray, Lord, that we would be faithful and that we would look up to you to help us in our daily life to be the ones you want us to be. Because you've made us in Christ, help us that we would recognize the responsibilities because you have given us the abilities to do it, and that in all things, Christ would be the preeminent and gets the glory because He loved us and gave Himself for us. And we lift all those requests and every lady here to you in the precious and worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.